Well, hello, everybody. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. And oh my gosh, have we got a great show for you tonight. I have been trying to get somebody to do this show, but once we start talking about it, you'll understand why not. Not everybody wants their laundry aired in the media, but the use of DNA to track family history has really opened up an interesting world and a can of worms. We're going to talk about that. I've got two women on here from both sides of the country who contacted me to tell their story. And I know several people I've tried to get to do this, but the person who the DNA was taken seriously by doesn't really want that story told. So we're going to talk about that story tonight and introduce you to some really interesting people and how fun that is. Our sponsors for this show, we could not do this without our sponsors. Chris Dental. Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where everyone is welcome and they believe your civil liberties and your freedom of speech are so important. If you're looking for a dentist who cares about that as well as your dental care, Michael Bratlin at Chris Dental is your guy. Also, Matt McCarl at New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center. If you have not done hyperbarics yet, I don't know what in the world you're waiting for. It's pure oxygen, like hundreds of Motrin to soothe your body. I've done it many times. It's awesome. They also do light therapy, and they also have sauna and massage as well. Our other sponsors, I will leave for later in the show, Alvord Taylor, Endless Possibilities. We're going to hear from one of their clients for a real short little message. And then Rains Heating and Air Conditioning with what not to use when you're cleaning your fireplace screen, the glass on your fireplace. I had no idea, and I've been doing this forever. So I'm really glad that I talked to Bradley because I can save myself a lot of trouble. Okay, first, we'll bring the first person on because she's the guilty party that called me and talked to me about this. This is Wendy.
Hi, Rick.
How are you? You brought this whole thing up.
I did. I couldn't resist.
You couldn't. And then here is your sister, right?
My sister, Catherine.
Okay. This is Kat.
I call her Catherine.
Okay. So look at you guys. Seriously, when I pulled them up, I went, you look similar. I mean, isn't a big surprise, but Wendy, tell me kind of how this all started. What kind of how this kicked off?
Well, about, I don't know, four or five years ago now, my oldest daughter had her DNA done just kind of on a whim. She was really researching what our Native American heritage was. That was her real goal. And her daughters gave it to her for a gift. She sent it off and she matched closely with this cute curly haired girl. And my daughter has very, very curly hair and really a really close match. So she was like, well, who could this be? And because my ex-husband was a very busy person, I said, she's probably your sister.
Well, you were kidding. You were kidding at the time.
I was kind of kidding, but kind of not because of that curly hair. And they're similar in age. They're close in age. And so I thought somewhere along the line, we knew it was a really close match. It had to be more than, you know, a distant cousin or something like that. And so these girls, my daughter Amanda and Catherine, really put their heads together and they began to research and question some things and they took it from there. And it was about 2 years, Catherine, before?
It was a good year plus. Yeah, close to 2 years.
I had really kind of forgotten about it, but unbeknownst to me, they were still looking and connecting dots. And then our older brother, Jeff, got involved. He's really good with genealogy and things like that. And so he got involved. And one day my daughter sent me a text with a man's picture. And she said, do you know who this is? And I said, no, I was absolutely joking when I said, please tell me you found my real daddy. Just joking, because I did not have a good relationship with who I thought was my real dad. And just joking. And she said, well, are you sitting down? I think we did. Wow. And that was in November. And I immediately, at that moment, sitting in Texas Roadhouse, having a steak and baked potato, ordered my DNA test from Amazon. It was there the next morning, of course. The next day, I sent it off, and we got it back. I got mine back on my little ping of, it's going to make me emotional, but I got that on January 7th of 2021. And we knew that. Had a little message in there from Catherine that said, I always wanted a sister.
So it's kind of funny that they weren't your daughter. You thought they were sisters, but it's actually really your sister. They're cousins then, right?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Aunt. No, you're the aunt and niece.
Yeah. I'm aunt baby, actually. Yes. Aunt baby, because I'm younger than her. And but I'm the aunt.
In true Seinfeld fashion, she's been pegged aunt baby. And so, yeah.
That's so, just Kat, you're in California.
Southern California.
Oh, so that's why you're up. Oh, the Southern, because she's Southern and you're Southern California.
Right, that's the connection. That's how we knew.
Yeah. So how was this for you? Like, because the dad you grew up with was the father that Wendy never knew.
Correct. Yeah, it was. I have a wild life history in and of itself. So my dad, Bobby Youngblood, the late Bobby Youngblood, he died in 95. He was married 5 times. So I have a half brother from each of the 3 wives preceding my mom. And then my mom was the 4th wife, and his, my stepmom was the eventual 5th wife he didn't have any children with her. So I've already had a crazy childhood and upbringing before this even happened, but I have 3 half brothers on my dad's side now, 1 half sister, and 1 half brother on my mom's side. So
dad was a busy man.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was born and raised in Texas. So that all makes sense.
There are lots of busy men in this scenario.
So Wendy, did your mom, she never obviously said anything.
Oh, no, she never said anything. She hasn't said anything to this day, Rick, actually. We have had no discussion about it, and that is her choice.
So she knows you know.
She knows I know. Oh, yes, she knows I know. She's not happy that I know, and she has just chosen not to share anything with me. So
is she a little embarrassed? Is that?
I'm sure that, that generation, she's going to be 87 in April, and so full of just pride and I guess shame. I don't know, but she's not discussing it. It's as if she doesn't have anything to say and is not said anything to me.
So Kat, I know from what Wendy told me, like you said that your dad, you're sure your dad did not know about Wendy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He was in touch with all of us. He was very, very involved with all of his children, and he made sure of that. Despite the divorces and the distance, he always made a very clear effort to be involved in everybody's life. And I think that if he would have known about her, I joke and tell her from time to time that I don't know if I would have been around, because I was the girl that he kind of stopped at. So I may not have been born.
So Wendy saved your life, or something. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So what was your dad like?
He was a force to be reckoned with. He was a cowboy style figure who came to Southern California. He was a an attorney, I believe, when he came here. Actually, no, I'm sorry. He came in the 50s, late 50s. He was in Santa Ana PD for a time. Then he opened up his own private investigation office. And then he eventually went to law school, Pepperdine, and passed the bar, practiced law for a little while, and then ran for judge of the Central Municipal Court in Santa Ana, California. And he actually lost to a Judge Orozco, and he insisted on a recount, that being the type of guy that he was, and he won on a recount.
Really?
He sure did, and it was the craziest story. So he was just very controversial. He was censured at one point. He taped a It was a doctor, defendant or plaintiff, I'm not sure which. He was not adhering to the rules of the court. He ordered his mouth taped in court.
Like literally taped?
With a piece of tape, yeah. He did the craziest things. And he just took everybody by storm. I mean, nobody was expecting him. He was just larger than life.
So, Wendy, your dad, your non-biological father, uh-huh. the man you grew up thinking was your dad, uh-huh. wasn't really the best guy to you.
Well, he really wasn't. And my parents divorced when I was very young. I don't remember ever living in the house with him as a family. But, you know, thereafter we visited during the summer and of course, and.
Oh, your signal's cutting back.
Uh-oh.
It'll come back usually. You know what I'll do, Kat? I'll go to you. So you have how many? You're the only girl then.
I am. Yeah. Well, now I have Wendy. So she knows what I meant when I said, I'm so glad I finally have a sister.
So you had a lonely growing up with just you by no female.
No. And actually, I'm the age difference. So my eldest brother is 65 now, I think. And then we go in years of seven increments of 7 years. So Jeff is 65, and then I have another brother, Robert, and then John, and then there's me. So it was lonely because of the age difference as well.
See, I could get.
There you are.
I knew we could. I knew we could get it right. No, that's exactly what you do if that happens. It's just because you're coming from Texas, you know, and it's a big state. There's a lot of internet use there. A
lot of traffic.
You know? And Kat's stealing everything from California, which is another big state. And then I'm in Montana, where there's only like a million people in the
That's
whole
right.
state. So it's not me.
Right. We're all in big states.
So, Wendy, you were telling me when we had a conversation about this that not only did you not really see eye to eye with your dad, he wasn't really a part of your life.
Right.
And a lot of things by knowing he and your mom, you think, knew. Your mom knew that.
I think they knew. I think they probably, you know, had an agreement. He always told me that they were separated. He took her some money and to visit. And then, you know, as he put it, things happened and I came along. And I always thought maybe we were strained because I came at a bad time in their marriage, which I obviously did. And it in a young person's mind, Rick, that just, I always thought there was something wrong with me. You know, because he treated my brother and sister so very different. And I just thought it was me. So when this happened, I can't even describe how freeing it was to know, you know, it wasn't me.
Right. It opened up a door like a seek. Isn't that?
It's fascinating.
Right. And isn't so you're I mean, obviously your non-biological dad. That was probably what split up their marriage. Yeah. And so then he kind of held that against you.
I think he did. I remember things being said when I was younger by my grandmother and, you know, just different things. Now, you know, later after I had children, I lived in the same town that he did. And I adored my stepmother, his wife. I just adored her. And, but there was just always something between us that wasn't right, you know, that wasn't good. And I just always thought it was me. I always thought it was a disappointment to him. He was a football coach and a high school teacher and, you know.
Well, let me run a couple of things here, a couple of the commercials here. And then we would come back. I want to talk about secrets and why they shouldn't be held back.
Okay.
I get teased because of my disability. Takes more concentration. Yeah, I understand a lot more than people think that I'm different in some ways, that I'm a great person. I help with people. I help do things because I'm always happy and excited that I need more help than some others of my disability sometimes. It takes me longer to process everything. Remembering a person, it does matter. Yeah, I think I matter. Yeah, you have to be kind to people. Otherwise, you don't get anywhere.
I love having them as a sponsor. Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities. Cool. Like Jamie said, yeah, you know, people, we do all matter. And we need to pay attention to one another and be kind. And if you sit down and talk with someone with a different ability like that, you find out that they do see what goes on. Yeah. And they aren't invisible. They may be to you, but once they open their mouth, they're not. And so anyway, let's talk about secrets. So, you know, I think, doesn't this show, you know, I know another family, and I'm not going to get really over personal, but when the mother finally passed away, the father died first, the mother died second. And going through the records, they see, the child was created before the wedding date. And then you go back and you look at all the secrets and the lies and stuff like that, and you realize how much it shaped and caused dysfunction in the family, you know? And maybe it's a chance, like this DNA thing is a chance to set things straight for you.
Oh, I definitely think it has set a lot of things straight. I do want to say, you know, I had a relationship with my dad later, and I actually took care of him for 3 years in my home before he died.
Wow.
And that was a challenge because our relationship was horrible, you know, and that was so hard. But I wanted to do that. I thought this was my one chance to establish, you know, care for him, to establish a relationship with him. And it just didn't happen. And I wish I had known. I wish I had known if he knew truly, you know, if he truly knew.
Right.
I don't know if that would change things, but it changed things now, finding out the truth. It absolutely, it's the best thing. I kind of thought I would maybe hear a story from my mom, a love story, and we would laugh and we would cry and we would go on. And I wish that, I think that would have happened had it come about a different way and had she chosen to tell it, you know, to share the secret.
So Kat, how does it affect your thoughts about your father in any way at all?
It has absolutely changed my outlook. And much like Wendy, I realized that there were so many beautiful things about my dad and myself that I took for granted and I never really recognized in myself. I didn't have my mom. My mom was absent from my life and my dad raised me, and I wound up having my children at 17 and 20 and just a real rough life. He died when I was 18 and no family whatsoever. And I've been kind of angry at him, I guess. I had been for a time and not really really happy about the way things had turned out. But when I met Wendy, I learned things about myself that I said, oh wow, like that must be from him and the goodness that I see in her and her heart. And honestly, she has shown me more about how to be a mom than anybody ever had shown me. So that was a really beautiful gift that she brought us.
So you both came up like us all in dysfunctional families.
I guess
the better way I would put it is more interesting,
you know?
Yeah.
Cause if we all go back, but so how does that knowing, you know, like that blood, knowing that the same blood courses through your veins, how does that, either one of you or both of you, how does that make it different or better or somehow more authentic maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I belong in the family, and we've seen each other a few times. We met in Vegas. That was our first visit because we couldn't wait. So she and I each flew and met there in Las Vegas and had a fun weekend. And then she and my brother-in-law, her lovely husband, James, came to Southern California. And nobody has ever visited me. I mean, I have some family scattered here and there. And it meant so much that they jumped on a plane and came to visit the family, not even really knowing what you were going to get, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. And then I went just recently in October to meet the rest of the family, except for just because they're such a big family, two I didn't meet, two of which we will get to. But just feeling like you belong, feeling like I belong. There wasn't any feeling of discomfort or I hope they like me. I really didn't feel like that. I felt like these are my people, and I've never felt like that before. Yeah. So that was a tremendous feeling.
Mm-hmm. I feel the exact same way. I don't even think really about the blood or the DNA so much as we hit it off immediately. When I got off that airplane, she was holding a big sign that said Wendy Youngblood, you know, like in a movie. And it was so fun. We immediately, I mean, we just started, we talked the whole weekend and laughed and realized similarities and taste and things like that. And
it was easy.
Well, isn't that kind of, Kat, Wendy, you're going to have to come back in, your signal froze again, but Kat, isn't that kind of like, so interesting that the things that your family didn't give you, you ended up, you know, I don't know what you believe and what, you know, in life and all that stuff, but it, you know, to me in a God-centered world, like God just kind of had this plan and took the two of you and said, oh, wait, you just hold on. I got something coming for you.
Sure.
And really kind of put that piece together.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that. That year, it was the year of the pandemic. So things were weird, not quite understanding what was going to happen. I was reading a book from Laura Lynn Jackson called Signs. And I, my daughter and I like that stuff. And it's about the afterlife and it's a really good spiritual read. And I remember that entire year, I asked my dad for a sign. Because I hadn't really even thought about him for years because it had already been over 25 years since he'd been gone. And I really felt like I connected with him that year in particular. And I had that connection with my niece, Mandy, and I just wouldn't let it go. I think that she wasn't sure and she was busy and everybody had their lives. And I reached out and we touched on it, but we couldn't figure it out. It didn't make sense what the connection was. I knew I didn't have cousins. I knew that my dad was my dad. And it was just, we were caught at a space where we just really couldn't get any further on it. And I just wouldn't let it go because I just knew that this was something. And I'm so glad I didn't, because it just, my life changed so much from that day forward.
So was this like all of a sudden, so you were having this spiritual with your dad after he had passed.
Yeah.
So you felt like he was guiding you to keep looking at this.
I do feel like that 100%. Do you remember those weird books back in the 80s, the Time Life books?
I'm only like in my 30s, so I don't. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So rude of me.
No, I've got you guys. I've got you top. Don't worry.
So those Time Life books, you used to have those collection of books. And I remember telling him, if you were to pass before me, give me a sign. And if I pass before you, I'll give you a sign. And we had that agreement. And when he passed away, I tell you what, I was scared to death. I slept with the lights on for a month. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to know. And I just removed all of that from any possibility of happening. And so then as time would have it, and then, you know, with the pandemic and being home and questioning life and what's going on, and I started reading some of those books by Laura Lynn Jackson, and I asked for a sign, and that's right around the time that this all happened.
Do you think we don't, you know, I didn't know that I was going to really go this direction, but I think it's kind of fun. You know, I think there's like a whole spiritual realm that we have no clue about what's going on around us. And I don't know what that means to different people or to different things. I don't think it matters, but you know, I still feel like, you know, I don't know if it's messages, but I know, you know, at certain times I know, you know, when I need my mom, I feel like she's there, you know, and that's so cool. But I mean, you know, let's just pretend and we'll have some fun. But what if your dad is part of the same? Okay, let's do it now. Oh, you think? You know, and everybody's upset. I don't know. Well, I think Wendy should meet. Well, you didn't even know till you got here that you had Wendy. Well, I know, but don't you think they should get together? I mean, it's just kind of fun because, you know, it kind of takes some of the dis out of the function
of a family. Yeah.
You know?
It's maybe the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. And
really?
By far, 100%. Like, it's like these things don't happen to me. You know, these stories, they don't happen. Like, you just don't even, you can't fathom.
Now, is that because there was so, let me just go there for a little bit. Is that because there was so much pain?
A little bit of that. And just the fact that, you know, my life has just been kind of the way that it's been. I've been solo for so many years and handled it on my own for a really long time. And I got to the point politically and politically during the pandemic and all of the stuff that there's such a division, you know, everybody was so upset with everybody. And I just felt in my heart, like, to hell with everybody, you know, if this is how it is, you know, and I was fine. I cut off some friends and I cut off some family that, you know, brothers and such. And I was headed in the wrong direction. And ever since this happened, I've realized that we need to focus on what we have in common and connects us. Connection is utterly important.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that I would have come to that realization, but not for this experience.
So what does Wendy do for you?
Well, Wendy does for me and my family what nobody has ever done. She's just the sweetest, kindest, most thoughtful, loving example that we've ever known. And honestly, my daughter, she just turned 29 Friday. And she said that Wendy is like the grandma and aunt and everybody she's never had.
And do you feel like, you know, sometimes as a little kid, you were starving for that family connection?
100%. Yeah.
And just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's kind of a testament to hang on, be still.
Yeah.
Something's coming, you know, and when you don't see it and you least expect it, then. And Wendy, the good witch.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Wendy? Wasn't that her name from The Wizard of Oz? I think, Wendy, did you freeze up again? She is just freezing up on us. Wendy, go back and start it again. There, wait, I think you're there.
Yeah.
Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy.
There you go.
Well, you know, it's that Texas thing.
Yeah. Even the pauses are bigger in Texas.
That's right. The signals, there's more people there taking the signal out of there. So, Wendy, I think I've got you now.
You got me are now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, uh-huh. I jumped on my phone just to try that. It was Wendy the Good Witch in Casper, just to catch you up to speed.
Okay. Somebody has to keep us in. Look at Kat, she's doing it for me too. You know, I have a big sister, but I'm probably older than her. So, Wendy, what has this meant for you?
Well, it has meant the same thing. It's a sense of belonging. And I had, you know, I mean, I spent time with my dad, my non-biological dad, and he spent time with my kids, but it was just never healthy for me. And it was never I never had a sense of belonging. I always felt different. I felt like something was distant. There was a disconnection there. And from the very first text that I responded to with Catherine, and I think we've texted or spoken nearly every day since in some capacity, that there was just such a family connection, a feeling of belonging and just being accepted as I am. I, you know, I didn't have to earn anything. I just came in and we all fell in love and we've just been clicking along. It's really hard to describe. It's really hard to describe. I had so much fun when we went to California. Wow. And when Catherine was here, one of my kids said, it didn't seem like we just met her. It seemed like we just hadn't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it felt.
Yeah.
When we
that That's profound.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was meeting someone new. It was like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. And we just caught up and went on.
That's right.
So it's really something. I'm really striving to. Did I lose you?
If you keep going, it's when this airs, that usually it'll put it all together. So it's usually fine.
Can you see me now?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Let's see. Whoops. Okay. I was trying to get back to the laptop, but.
No, you're fine on the phone. You're fine.
Okay, good. Yes, you were fixing to ask something.
I was going to say, so what's the, you know, I always like to leave with like, what do people learn from that? What do we leave? You know, I love Kat, what you were saying about, you know, we went through the pandemic and it was, you know, and then the elections and it's all, you're this person and you're that person and you're an anti-vaxxer, you're a pro-vaxxer. Yeah. This kind of shook, like rattled your world, like, and all of a sudden goes, okay, what is really important?
Well, I can tell you, it showed me that I couldn't control things. I have a big thing about control, having been the one who's in control of everything my entire life, even when I was a child, pretty much. I couldn't have even controlled this to make it as it wound up being. And it, the faith that I have experienced, having this connection presented to me without any involvement of my own, shows me that there is something bigger than me out there controlling the scenario. And I haven't always felt comfortable with that thought, but in this instance, I do feel extremely comforted, and it's something that I couldn't have even created on my own. And it turned out lovely.
So is another way to put that, is it something you didn't have to create on your own? So you could relax and just experience and live life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Knowing that you're a co-author of your story, not the author of your story.
Right. I'm constantly trying to control things to make them turn out a certain way, or to have a certain ending, or to, you know, have a certain narrative. I need to just sit back, because there's no need to do that at all. I mean, life is going to be, and there are good things that come from that.
Wendy, what about for you?
Absolutely. I just agree with all that so much. And it's really shown me that, you know, things aren't, of course, always as they seem. And the things that we conjure up in our own minds, you know, how we perceive ourselves and how we think people are thinking toward us, aren't always what we think in our minds. And it's been refreshing just to have someone, you know, this other family, and I have wonderful siblings. I don't want to say I don't, but this has been truly different, and a different connection. It's pure. It's a pure connection. We didn't go looking for it. We didn't seek it out. You know, it landed in our laps, and it just organically has just flown into a beautiful relationship on both ends. And it's given me a sense of belonging that I didn't even know how much I did not feel that before, mm-hmm. until I felt it in this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfectly. So I believe that I'm really big on storytelling, you know, because that's what I did in my job as a news anchor forever. And I think sometimes we don't give ourselves, what I love about what you're saying, Kat, is because I always tell people, you know, go co-author your story. Realize you don't have to write it yourself, but you are co-authoring. So take some charge of that. But there's another side. You just opened my eyes to this whole other side. Mm-hmm. You always had to take charge because there was no one else to do it. And there's a ton of people out there like that.
Yeah.
So maybe the best way to co-write a story is to lift your hand off the pen and the computer pad and let the story guide you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We both moms, and we know what it's like to, if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it for you.
Right.
You know? And this was something that was just, we didn't even do it for ourselves or for one another. And it was just a gift. A gift is the best thing I can call it.
So, Wendy, what do you tell your great-grandchildren when they when this story comes up someday?
Oh, I can't wait to tell my great-grandchildren. And my grandchildren are excited, you know, about Catherine. And they all see a difference in me and my personality and just the, I don't know, it's just been a very freeing thing for me personally. They see me more confident, more settled in my heart and in my spirit, I think. And I will be excited to tell them exactly how it came out. I'm curious what will be down the line in 20 years different from DNA. And I'll say, well, there was this thing you spit in and we smelled it off. You know, we actually mailed it off. It's going to be one of those tales of that in the olden days, how they did it back then. And, I can't wait. I can't wait to tell Catherine's grandchildren that same story.
And what's kind of fun about both of you is you both, I don't know either one of you except for this conversation, but you both look really content.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could have met you before this happened and see you afterwards, because Catherine hasn't taken the smile off of her face. And Wendy was so excited for this whole thing to happen. It's just you both kind of, it's like this giant puzzle, and the two pieces finally found the right place to put.
That is exactly right. And you know, Rick, I've shared this with a few people, of course, a lot of people, and I've told a couple of people who said, oh my goodness, I've had the same experience, but I did not respond. You know, maybe someone contacted them and said, I think we're related, or my DNA, blah, blah, blah. And they chose not to respond. And I think, oh, you know, I hope one person listening might say, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what this is all about, you know, because you just don't know what you might be missing out there and what connection is waiting for you in this way. I told you before, you know, I had someone say, well, I know I have a sister out there, but I don't know about connecting. I don't know if I should even connect. Another friend said, I have a similar story. And she encouraged me to reach out or respond to Catherine in the beginning. She said, I have a wonderful sister because of a scenario similar to this, and you won't be sorry. And she was right. You know,
because you know, what's so funny about us as human beings is like, we want interesting lives, but when we go to the movie, what makes lives interesting is all the ups and downs and turmoil and getting through it. And it's like, and it's, you know, it's character development in a play, and who would go to a play and see a perfect, you know, Snow White even had to die and get kissed by the prince. There's always something, and yet we avoid that. And I just wonder sometimes if we didn't get to the end of our lives and look back and go, oh my gosh, I should have jumped. When they said jump, I should have jumped. When I had my chance to jump out of an airplane, I should have done it. I mean, all these things we don't do, and look at the joy that it's brought to you guys. And not only that, it's like restoration and healing and confidence. And I mean, it's almost like you were never going to become the person you were meant to be unless this happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And one of my favorite things is, Wendy, remember that person who asked you, hey, have you talked to your sister
anymore? Yeah. It was about, I don't know, 6 months after I had shared with someone about Catherine, and she said, oh, so that new sister, do y'all ever talk anymore? And I'm like, yes, every single day.
She said today?
Yeah.
You guys are probably closer because you didn't grow up together.
Yeah, I was telling her that too. I was a stubborn one, so maybe it's better we met a little when I cooled off.
Because your parents kind of unwillingly and unknowingly create a history and a putting kids against each other, not meaning to sometimes. And you guys got this fresh start where you got to start when we're mature and not little bratty kids. You started at this mature level.
100%. So
we
each have really supportive husbands too. And I've been with Michael for 16 years, and you just hit how many years with?
27.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just a great time of both of our lives.
So when's the next get together?
Well, I am going to go down there again. I'm going to bring my husband. So we have to
So we're anxious to have him out here also. Sometimes I think, oh, I missed that time of Catherine. She posted a picture of that was a few years old, and I thought, oh, I missed that time with her. I didn't get to experience that, or, you know, but I'm so grateful that we met when we did, and we're both, like you said, we're grown-ups. We know what's behind us, and we know what we've been through, and we can share, and now we know what's ahead. So,
well, the good thing too is, I mean, I have three sisters, and one of them's a twin. So I spent an extra 9 months staring at her ass inside the womb, which when people ask why you're so ugly and your sister's so cute, I say, because I had my head up against her butt for 9 months. But growing up, then we had to all go through therapy to get over the things of our childhood. And now my sister and I are super, super close.
So
it's kind of how life works out and does it. I just think you guys are so awesome. I love your story. I think you should write it in a book. You know, for people to understand, you know, what are your themes? It's like life hands you this not so great situation, and you turn it and you turn it into something. It gets turned. I think what I love, Kat, what you said is for both of you, is that you did have to do little things, like do the DNA test, and then jump in and say, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But it was really, it's almost like it was already done and orchestrated.
Yeah.
And it was like, here's, it's like, you know what this reminds me of? It's like, okay, so you're on stage. The play is going.
Yeah.
You're in the wings. You can walk on stage and be scared to death that it's not going to work out. Or this happens. The magic happens. And you both took the chance. You came in from the different stages. You got on the stage. And it worked.
You just have to receive it.
Yeah. And I think there's too many of us. Yeah. See, because I'm thinking in my own life right now, just things that I'm thinking about. And I think anybody in this audience could be looking at that going, are you waiting in the wings? Or are you going to go out on the stage, take the chance that you're going to fail, but also have the opportunity that everything is going to happen. It's already done. You just have to walk on the stage.
Right.
That's
yeah. That's amazing.
You know, we didn't hesitate. We jumped with both feet, and I'm glad. I trust the process. Sometimes I think, why didn't this happen 20 years ago? Or why didn't I meet Catherine 20 years ago? And I'm trusting the process and the one who brought it all together for us.
Right. So, Wendy, how did you find, you called, you texted me and said, I want you to tell my story. Well, and I thank you so much for that. But how, I mean, I'm a guy from Oregon. You're a woman from Texas. Kat's a woman from California. Is this part of the play?
Yeah.
You were on, we talked about doing a podcast or something, she and I, many times, you know, and I had a friend who asked me to do one locally here, and I didn't, you know, feel like it was time, I guess. And the timing wasn't right. And I saw you on TikTok Live, and that's when I messaged you. Do you know a good DNA story? And then I watched a couple of your podcasts before I emailed. You know, and it was that hair, Rick. I had to check out that hair. You were showing your hair gel, and I was trying to see what it was. And then you started talking about a storyteller. And I recently went to the John C. Campbell Folk School in North Carolina for storytelling. You should go. And it was phenomenal. And when you said I'm a storyteller, it just caught my ear. And I thought that's what we're looking for is, you know, we want to spend time with someone who tells stories, and you tell good ones.
Well, I just ask questions. You guys tell the story. I just get to I get to slip in for a moment on stage, and then I'm like I'm the understudy or something, you know, I pop in for a minute. Thank you both so much for taking time to do this.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been awesome.
Well, share it as you want. Let people know. And for the audience out there, you know, share this on your page, because here's what you learn when you do this. Like I've done this for God, 40 years, and you just never know the people you will touch by sharing a story like this on your page. You just share it on your page. And I've had people come on and say, oh my gosh, I just started working out because I saw something you were talking about. And you're like, really? And I think that's part of the dance Kat was talking about is, you know, doing that is getting in there and playing your part and stuff. And so you may not be a storyteller, but we are.
Right.
And so just share what we've just produced here and let people see it, because somebody's sitting out there lonely and scared and not knowing what to do. And they just want to live their life. You know, there's so many people in the world that live and don't ever come alive. And I think, you know, you guys got the opportunity to come alive. And now, because the way the world is connected, you get to help other people come alive through your story. And that's the magic of relationship. That's the thing both of you didn't have as much of growing up.
Right.
And now it's restored. And I think you should, write a book.
I think we will. And we'll come back here for the book tour.
I'll take it. I'll take you. All right. Wendy, Catherine, welcome. You know, we'll just call this show Sisters. And it was good talking to both of you.
They're such devoted sisters.
That's right. All right. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So there you go. That's how it works. I just love that. You know, that's how you get to be a part of this thing. And that's their story. But what's yours? You know, so what is it that you're doing to your story? How are you living your life? We can't do any of this without our sponsors, Christiano Family Dentistry, Alfred Taylor, Endless Possibilities, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, and this guy right here with a quick little tip before we go.
So today we're cleaning a gas fireplace, and super important to know not to use Windex on your gas fireplace for the simple reason that your glass can actually explode if you're using Windex on these. Whatever chemical is in the Windex will make these explode. So it's super important to use a glass cleaning cleaner for gas fireplaces so that you're using the right application for your fireplace.
I never knew that. So if you, and they will clean your fireplace and they do a lot better job than you're going to do. Also, they'll do furnace right now, do your maintenance on your furnace before the cold weather, the really cold weather sets in. That's Range Heating and Air Conditioning out of Crestwell, Oregon. All right. Well, anyway, a great show. That's what we love doing. Again, share it on your page. Let other people know what's going on. I'm Rick Dancer. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll tell you what's coming up later this week. Have a good night.